Amen. Last week we talked about the journey for a Christian begins at our time of salvation. You remember that? So if you were here, I talked about and mentioned that the journey that we have as a Christian, it begins. Now, the most important decision you will ever make in your life is to follow Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, to accept God's salvation. That is the number one most important. You thought, no, it was saying I do. No, that's like number three or four or five, okay? The most important is to say, yes, Lord, come into my life, forgive me of my sin, please, Lord, be my Savior, be my Lord. I believe, God, that you died for me. I believe you rose again, for it is confessing with your mouth, believing in your heart, and you shall be saved. Number one important decision. Number two, I believe, is just like the first. The second and most important is to decide to follow Jesus Christ as your Lord. And that is where the journey begins. Is when you say, yes, Lord, save me. And now you say, Lord, help me to grow. Help me, Lord, to grow. And the more that we grow in the Lord, the more we will realize on a daily basis everything that God has in store for our lives if we follow him as Lord. Do you know that the more you pour into God, you will learn things, I will learn things that we can't even possibly imagine that God has in store for us, those who love him. We have so many things set before us that God wants to do in our lives. And you say, well, go ahead and just pour it out on me, God. Bible, if God was to pour out every single blessing he has for your life all in one hit, we would just fall over and croak down. It'd just be too overwhelming. It'd just be like, oh my God, too much. But no, the Lord helps us to grow on a day-by-day basis. And you remember what God has in store for the believer? You haven't forgotten what God has in store. What does God have in store for the believer? Look at 1 Corinthians 2:9. 1 Corinthians 2:9 is going to be placed up on the screen right now. It says, the scripture says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. Do you still believe that God has some great things prepared for you? You see, that, my friends, is our hope of glory. That's why we press on and keep on going. No matter what we deal with, why do we keep on keeping on? Because God has something prepared for us that we can't even possibly imagine. God says that if we hold on, Jesus said, to her who overcomes, I will give the right to sit at the right hand of the Father. Can you even imagine for a moment? On Wednesday night in Bible study, Pastor Willie was teaching Revelations, and he took a moment as he felt just inspired and excited, and took a moment about talking about heaven and what does heaven mean to you, and could you imagine, you know, what it is? And people started giving out their ideas about what heaven would be. And do you think that we can even Bible says that no eye has seen, ear heard, no mind has he can imagine what God has prepared. So we can think about heaven in the greatest way our capacity that our finite minds could even imagine, and it's going to be 100 times greater than that. That's how awesome. I can't even imagine. All I know is this, I got to get there. That's what I know this is. I got to get there, right? I got to get there. So our goal is, but not only to find ourselves getting to heaven, right? That's not only our goal. If your goal is just simply to call on Jesus so I can get to heaven, you're going to miss a lot between point A and point B. A is being born, point B is being in heaven, and there is a lot between that journey. And if you're just saying, hey, I just want to get to heaven, the rest of it, I'm going to do what I want to do, you're going to miss out on all the blessings that God. So in our message, we're talking about that we need to find ourselves not only looking to heaven, not only expecting heaven, not only desiring and wanting to get to heaven, but we need to find ourselves growing stronger in our faith so that we could realize the true blessings that God has for us even here and now. You see, I believe that God's not holding back all the greatest blessings for when we get to heaven. We can't even imagine what's there. But God is looking to bless us every single day of our life. Here and now, I believe God wants to bless and he wants to do incredible things in our lives. So we have to grow and learn about those blessings that God has for our lives. Because what a boring life, what a terrible life if there was nothing that God was going to do incredible blessings in our life. And we just got to go through and just trek on through and get beat down and through this world and get older and creak and crack and be like, oh, by the time we got to heaven, I'd be like, I'm almost there, Lord, here I come. I'm gonna make it, God. You know, you're all beat down. No, God wants victorious Christians, man. He wants us to shout out, here I come, Lord, I'm believing, praise the Lord, here I come. Yeah. Hallelujah. So in order to establish that in our lives, in order to establish, 2 Peter 3:18 says, rather, you must grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All glory to him, both now and forever. Amen. Peter here admonishes the believer to grow in all ways. In all ways of our lives, we are admonished here to grow. That means that we are to add to our lives Christ's attributes. We are to want to what? The Bible says to be more like Christ. So we are to add to our lives. We're to grow to be more like Christ. And we are to learn more about him every single day. Why? Why? Not only because the Word of God tells us to do so, which that should be enough as it is. If God says it, I better do it. All right? But not only that, but we must continue to learn and grow in the Lord in all ways so that we could, now get this, if you're taking notes, put this in your file cabinet, so that we could obtain and retain all that Christ has for our lives. You need to learn to obtain it. But then you need to grow in your faith so that you can retain it. How many know that sometimes we grab a hold of something great from God, and then all of a sudden some time treks by, and we end up losing it? And you're like, where'd that go? Do I have a hole in my pocket? You know, it's like God gives me this, and all of a sudden it just flies out. I'm like, where'd that blessing go? There must be a hole in my pocket. No, there must be a hole in my faith. Because God gave me something and I've got to hold on to it. And too many times does God do something incredible. Look at this dirt. This is going to bother me all through the service. I'll pick it up. Okay. But, I mean, I like that, right? Yeah. You know, so you're vacuuming the house and all of a sudden there's that one thing left over and you're just like, it's like the whole house is vacuumed, but that one thing, I got to go get that, you know? But the thing is, the thing is, I don't know, I'm lost now. All right. But we've got to obtain and we've got to retain all that Christ has for our lives. I know what I wanted to say. Is sometimes we come to church and we receive the blessing of God. We get prayed over. Somebody lays hands. Somebody says, hey, God's doing this stuff. And we walk out of here just so full of faith. We walk out of here so pumped up. And then all of a sudden we get to our car and it's gone. We done left it in church. No, you don't want to leave your blessings. You don't want to leave what God's doing. Leave it here in church. Now, if you want to leave it here, I'll pick it up and I'll put it in my pocket. But the reality is God's got it for you. So you've got to learn to take it and not only obtain it by faith, but retain it by growing in God's grace and knowledge. Continuing our series now, our message is titled Reaching Within. Reaching within, connecting ourselves. So we're reaching within in this series and we are connecting ourselves. This is the second part. Now I want to remind us that when we give our trust, our lives, and when we place our faith, our continuing, enduring faith in Jesus Christ as Lord, there needs to be a growth process in our lives in order to cultivate that faith. Faith is like a seed that is planted. It must be watered. It must be nurtured. It must be taken care of so that that seed could grow and prosper. And so we see this seed faith in our life that started as a seed planted there by faith. We don't see it, but as we trek and as we learn more about God, we begin to see our faith grow, and we see our faith grow and blossom into something that is absolutely incredible. How many believe today that you trust God a little more today than you did when you first gave your heart to Him? Why? Because you went through trials and tribulations, you read God's word or reading God's word, you're learning more about Him, which develops the faith inside you, so now you can believe. And something that might have rocked your boat long ago, that now comes alongside and you say, oh, okay, enemy, we've been here before. We've been here before. I know how to get through this. And it doesn't seem to affect and rock your faith in God as it maybe once did. And that's because you've allowed your faith to grow and to blossom. So we need to cultivate our faith. We need to be people who make God's order of things our way of life. Put that down, mark it down, make your notes. You know your bulletin has a note sheet in the end of it, right? Everybody know that? If you fold your bulletin right over, there's a note that says, today's sermon notes, and then there's a place that says, I will apply God's word this way. That's very important, because you'll say, I remember, and I'll ask you next week, and you'll say, what? No, I didn't. But we must make God's order of things our way of life. That means everything that God says in His word, everything that God tells us to do, it has to be our way of life. No highway option. God said it, it shall be done. It needs to be done in my life as I grow closer to the Lord. And in order to do so, in order to make God's order of things our way of life, we have to find ourselves regularly digging into God's word and living in a way that shows our belief. How many believe that's important today? To not only say we believe, but to show we believe. That's important to me. I like to say that the proof is in the pudding. The proof is in the pudding. You know, that if you say you believe in Christ, if you say you're a follower of God, then you shouldn't have to stamp it on your forehead. You shouldn't have to tell everybody I'm a Christian. People should walk away from our conversation and say, man, I bet that's one of those people. You ever been one of those people? I've been one of those people. You know, they don't have faith. They don't understand. Oh, that's one of them religious people. Hey, well, praise God. That's a compliment. You must have realized God is working in me. There must be something different. You know what I'm talking about? So we have to live in such a way that shows our belief in what God says. Now, with that being said, as we are cultivating our faith, how many believe that when God says it, that it's going to be done? And then when God gives us a promise, that He's going to answer that promise. But how many times do we fall short sometimes of going through a situation and we forget what God promised us that He was going to do? And we kind of forget, oh, I know, I remember something about that. Oh, what did God say? I'm going through this trial, this tribulation. What did God say? Well, that's why we must regularly read the Word of God. We must take in the meat of the Word. We must be fed. As Peter said, we said last week, we must crave the spiritual milk because it's our lifeblood within us, is the Word of God. Otherwise, when the stuff hits, and can I tell you something? The stuff is going to hit. Let me tell this side over here. The stuff of life is going to hit you. It's going to hit hard. Oh, what a bummer, man. I come to this church today and this guy is not exciting me at all. But it's going to hit. Yet I'm not the first one. I'm only the messenger. Jesus said that. But He said, hey, He said, trust in me. Believe in me, for I've overcome. So we need to take in as much of the overcomer, the Word of God in our life as we can. We know that the early church, as we dug in our series, open your Bibles to turn over to Acts chapter 2, 42. But the early church, we know this. They first believed the Word of God. We talked about that last week. And when they first believed the Word of God, the Bible says that it started a powerful move of God within the church, and it grew from thousands and today into billions. of people who believe because simply the people that heard the word of God as Peter preached it, they believed. And they went to a port, as we talked about last week, pick it up online, tobchurch.org, O-R-G, pick it up. They said, we are cut to the heart. What must we do? That was their response when they heard the word of God. That should be our response when we hear the word of God. What should we do? What can we do? We need to believe. So the early church believed the word of God, but they also not only obtained the word of God, but we're going to learn they retained. But it was not by just happenstance that they retained what they had gotten that day. Because how many believe that they could have cried out and said, Peter, what do we do? And he says, believe, repent, be baptized. And they could have done all that stuff. And then they went off and did their own thing. And then maybe they would not have retained. The Bible talks about that too, about the seed falling onto ground. Talks about the soils. So, we know how did they, we know that they obtained. Now let's learn how they retained it. Remember this, it says in 2:42, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. So let's kind of dissect this and let's unpack this verse a little bit. Remember we talked about last week, if you were here, the word devotion. And how the word devotion indicates a strong determination to not quit, to not slip back, or not to give up on their newfound faith. And we can apply that to us today too. Is that we are called to be devoted followers of the Lord. Means that we don't fall back, we don't slip back, that we determine not to quit. How many can say today that they have determined to not quit on Jesus? Amen. Well, praise the Lord. That is what they did. Scripture says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Now, first and foremost, the apostles needed to set a strong foundation of unity in God's word. So the first and foremost, as the apostles begin to preach, as we hear from Peter, as now the gospel is being established where they believe in this particular place and this time, we know that the apostles now needed to set a strong foundation. In fact, this was one of the directives from Christ himself before he ascended back to heaven. Some of you may remember what Jesus said. If you don't, it's going to be posted on the screen. Matthew 28, 18 to 20. Listen to what Jesus said. It said, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all the authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, in verse 19, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Right? We know that. But look at verse 20. Teach. Somebody say, teach. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this. Oh, we quote this one all day long, don't we? I am with you always, even to the end of age. We quote that particular part of that whole verse there a lot. That Jesus says he'll never leave us nor forsake us. But he called the apostles. He called the disciples. And it wasn't just the 11 that were there, the 12 that were there. It was all the disciples. There were hundreds of them there at that point. He was calling all the believers that were there to go and make disciples of the nation. So we understand this, that the mandate of Jesus to all his disciples at that time and now. What is a disciple of Christ? A follower of Christ, okay? Big word, follower of Christ, was to reach out with the gospel, and once they received the good news, right? We evangelize. Once they receive the good news, then baptize them and then teach them what Jesus taught, right? So we hear that. So evangelize, get them to believe, share the good news, let the Holy Spirit work in their life, open up their life to the goodness of God's salvation. Now get them baptized, which we are planning for in the next month. okay? And then get them baptized and then teach them. Don't leave them hanging all washed up and nowhere to go. But teach them now, as we do every week here in the church on our Bible study, Wednesday midweeks, our Sundays, even on Tuesday mornings in our prayer time, we're now teaching a little bit of the Word of God. Why? Because it's the Word of God that works in our life. It's the Word of God that purifies us. It's the Word of God that challenges us. It's the Word of God that gives us faith. It's the Word of God that will endure forever. So we must be those that are teaching. Now, as we know that this was Jesus's mandate to his disciples to reach them, baptize them, and then teach them, let's see what we see in the early church of what was happening. First thing in this level that I want to teach on this first point, it says this: they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. That is, or maybe your translation says to the apostles' doctrine, which simply means the teaching or what they believed at the time as given inspired truth of the Word of God. So you see, Jesus made this statement. He said, make disciples of all nations, meaning that the apostles were to set the groundwork in the new believers' lives, right? Because these were all, these 3,000 that gave their life to Jesus on the day, at the day of Pentecost, they all gave their life after Peter preached, but now they were to set the groundwork for these new believers to draw them to becoming disciples of Christ themselves. Not only, remember, there are the two decisions. One is to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Second, I said, is to follow Jesus Christ as your Lord, right? So we can call him our Savior, but is he our Lord? There's a difference. There's a difference. Is Jesus my Lord? You say, well, of course he's my Lord. Well, do you follow his commands? Do you follow him like a good soldier follows his general, as the Bible would say? Well, you know, as our Lord, we got to follow what our shepherd, what our commander in chief is telling us to do, right? And that is in the Word of God. We've got to listen to the voice of our shepherd. So they would set the groundwork for the new believers to draw them. Now, the word disciple, here's a disciple, a little bit of a definition for you. A disciple is a dedicated follower of Jesus and a learner of God's word. So if you are a follower of Jesus, if you are a learner of God's word, then you can give yourself the title of a disciple of Jesus Christ. I am a disciple of Jesus. I have chosen to learn under my Lord's words and inspiration. A dedicated person who turns to Jesus for their direction in life is a disciple who then takes what they learn. So a disciple receives, follows Jesus, learns Jesus' word, and then takes what they learned, and now goes, does what? Shares it with other people. Take what you learn and now share it with other people. A disciple of Christ gets so... Have you ever gotten so excited about the Word of God? So just pumped up about something you read that you've got to tell somebody? Anybody out there ever got that way before? I mean, you're biting at the bit and you want to tell somebody. Well, the greatest news today, it can be good and bad, but the greatest news, we have outlets called social media that if we feel so inspired of the Lord, man, we can, ooh, praise the Lord. Start typing it down. If we put good stuff, it's a good thing, right? Social media can be a blessing to reach, but I've seen many people post things that just reach them and touch their hearts. So that is a disciple, is that we take in what we've learned and we seek to teach it to other believers. And this foundational teaching that the apostles were teaching and called by Jesus was extremely important to do so, because those believers, just like us today, we need to be grounded in the Word of God. Not only grounded in the Word of God, but we've got to be unified in the Word of God. Why do we need to be grounded? Why do we need to come in one place to believe one word? Why do we need to do that? Because Peter reminds us in 2 Peter 3:17, he says this, "I am warning you ahead of time, dear friends, be on guard so that you will not be carried away by the errors of these wicked people and do what? Lose your own secure footing." Wow. Not only do you need to obtain your faith, you need to retain your faith. So Peter would warn, we've got to be grounded in the apostles' teaching, that is the word of God, so that we would be unified in our thinking and so that we would not be carried away by the errors of other wicked people, that is other cults, other systems of religion that were teaching what the Bible would say, another gospel. We've got to be grounded in the word of God so that when somebody comes a knocking on your door, "Have you heard the good news?" You look at them and say, "Why, yes, I have. Jesus Christ is alive today. Hallelujah. I believe he died for me. He rose again. You want to have a Bible study? Let's do this." Because I'm grounded in the word of God. "Well, let us give you this so that you could understand a little bit more." "No, thank you. My word is the word of God, and I stand upon it." But you only know such things if you are grounded and you are unified in what the apostles taught, that is the word of God. So how do you know it is the word of God, Pastor? Because the word of God from Genesis to Revelation is the only inspired book that has been tested and proved, and everybody and their mother has tried to come against it and has never faltered. Never. That's why it's the word of God. Everything that God said has come and is coming to pass. That's why we don't call it the reorganized assembly of God. Some of you will catch that in a moment, but I'll leave it there. But it's important. Why am I saying this? Why am I camping out on this? Because Peter said, do not be carried away by the errors of wicked people and lose your own secure footing. Be careful. It is only those who believe in the truth, the life, the way, that is Jesus Christ. The only one that can go to heaven to be with the Father in heaven is through Jesus Christ. There is no other way. How do I know? Because God said it, and I believe it. So Peter said we must continually, remember earlier he said in 3:18, which actually follows this verse, so that's why he would say after this verse that we must continually grow in the grace and the knowledge. Is that all we need to know? To grow in the grace and the knowledge? No. We need to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Ephesians 4, 5, and 6, there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism. In verse 6, one God and Father who is over all and in all and living through all. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit manifesting themselves in three distinct persons so that God could relate with us. Wonderful. Now, we must also take note that it was the new church believers that not only heard the word of God, but what did they do? If we jump back into in verse 42, chapter 2, go back to Acts verse 42, it says this, that they did something that kept them in the game. They devoted themselves. They devoted themselves. What does that mean? It means simply this. Okay, here's what it means. That as Christians, it is our responsibility to make ourselves, we're not quite on that one yet, brother. It is our responsibility to make ourselves disciples of Christ. You see, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. So it is our responsibility to make ourselves disciples of Christ, because listen, it won't just naturally happen. You see, osmosis doesn't work in our faith. It's not something that we're just going to just say, absorb it all. Go ahead, just fill me up. It doesn't work that way. We have to grow and we have to devote ourselves and we have to continually seek and pray and hang in there and go to church. I mean, all of these things. We have to make God's word a priority in our lives. It's just not going to happen without our own efforts. You see, a disciple of Christ will find and desire ways to grow in their faith and relationship to God, and then share that news with others. So a disciple of Christ desires more of God. I want more of God in my life. But here's what I realize, that I can want as much as I want, but if I don't do something about it, I'm just not going to get more. God has given us all through Christ Jesus. But it's up to us to obtain the blessings of God in our lives. So we must grow in the grace and the knowledge. It's our responsibility. That's why it says that the early church devoted themselves. They devoted themselves to seeking God. They devoted themselves to growing in the ways of the Lord. And this growth occurs in the Lord like this. By somebody, by a person just getting on fire for God and not looking back. And just wanting, as a deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. As you come to a point where you just love God and you fall in love with God, you just want more. I've got to have more. And we talked about that in our previous messages in our series. So as this growth occurs in the Lord, it will generally cause a believer to do one thing. As this growth occurs, it will cause a believer to desire to fellowship with other believers because of the Holy Spirit working within us. You who didn't really like to hang out with people, me, who's kind of a loner. Anybody out there a loners? Don't. And it's interesting that you find yourself being a loner, and then all of a sudden you find yourself locked in with a group of people around you. And some of them are close enough to touch. And part of you just says, whoa, that's not me. But yet for some reason, I have this desire to gather with other people. For some reason, I have this desire to connect, and I have this desire to hang out and go to a place where many people go. For some reason, I have this desire to come together with like-minded people for some reason. And I want to tell you what that reason is. Because the Holy Spirit that dwells inside the life of all believers is calling us together for a specific reason. And that reason is this. Next Sunday. That's the reason. Amen. Now, I don't know if you're clapping because you like the word or you're saying, good, it's on time, we're getting out of here. The word is this, koinonia. Koinonia is the word that means fellowship through the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to talk to you next week, and you need to come out and hear all about it and why it is important, why the Lord tells us, and how it benefits us to come together in fellowship through the working of the Holy Spirit inside of our lives. Amen? How many are blessed when they come together with God's people? Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's just bless the Lord, and we'll leave it right there as we pick up our series next week as we continue in to mimic, to do what the successful church of God did, which changed all of our lives from that day of Pentecost on. Father, we love you. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for just all the beautiful blessings that you pour inside of our life on a daily basis. And Father, as we are learning your word, I pray that not only would we obtain the promises of God, but that we would be a people that would retain all your promises and all the wonderful, beautiful blessings that you pour into our lives in the past, today, and tomorrow. Father, help us to be people that make your order of things, that is your word, our way of life, so that we could truly enjoy our walk with Jesus Christ. So Lord, thank you for the hope of glory. Thank you that we who believe will be in heaven one day forever and ever, enjoying the blessings of God. Thank you, God, for us who place faith in you every day, that you give us blessings every single day of our lives. Thank you that your mercies are new every single day. Thank you, God, that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. Thank you, God, that when we miss the mark, that you tell us that we just need to come to you with a humble heart and ask you for forgiveness, and you will you'll forgive us, and you'll help us to reestablish. Thank you for that, God, that you'll never cast us away, and that thank you, God, that nothing can separate us from the love that is in Christ Jesus. And God, these are just a small bit of all the beautiful, wonderful promises that you have for us in your word. So let us hold on to the word of God. Let us hold on to that anchor verse that keeps us going. Let us hold on to the hope of glory. Let us hold on to Jesus. For it is him who gave his all for us. And help us to give our all for Jesus. I thank you, Father. Bless each one here today. And I just want to leave with this. If there's a need in this place, if there's a need in your heart and your life, if you just need the Lord to touch you in a special way, I want you to lift up your hands with me in faith. Maybe there's multiple needs, you lift up both hands. But if there is something going on in your life and you're just saying, God, I really need you. God, help me. Give me wisdom. Give me strength. Lord, please bless me with a healing. Bless me with provision. Bless me with whatever it is that the Lord is doing and needs to do in your life. And all we're doing is asking God and saying, Lord, your will be done. Help us, God, to just not only obtain, but retain all that you have for our lives. Father, I pray for all these hands that are lifted up in this place. I pray in the name of Jesus, God, that you would do an incredible work, a work that tells us that, Lord, you are on the throne and that you are all powerful. God, until that work is completed, until that provision is given, until that healing is done, I pray, God, that through your Holy Spirit, you would give us the strength to endure, the strength to keep moving forward, the strength to never look back, but the strength to keep on keeping on for Jesus. Help us to never grow weary in doing good, God, because we know that the harvest is coming. So, Lord, we look to you. We fix our eyes on Jesus. And until the blessings and the Lord's will is done and all of our prayer requests are answered according to your perfect will, give us the strength, God, to endure. Bless the needs of each person of faith in this place. Bless them, Lord. Work in their life even now. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And each one together said, amen. 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 God bless you. Amen. Give the Lord for the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, God.